today on It's Time.
Abram begins to realize that he's not going to be able to do what God wants him to do unless he walks with God.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
Notice two things here. First thing is that Lot lifted up his eyes. I think that's always a dangerous place to be when we try to make the decisions ourselves. You know, the Bible tells us there's three things that'll destroy a person: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those three things. And Lot lifted up his eyes. So first of all, we have Lot lifting up his own eyes. The second thing is he responds to what he sees. It's like a well-watered garden, like the Lord's garden. By the way, this area today in the land of Canaan, in the land of Israel, is a desert. Now, friends, global warming has been going on ever since the flood. And we find this widening band of desert that has gripped northern Africa. It has gripped many places of the world. In fact, what's kind of noteworthy, at the time of Jesus and thereabouts, northern Africa was really the San Joaquin Valley of like the San Joaquin Valley in America. It's where a lot of their crops were grown, where their wheat was grown, to keep this huge army, to keep their nation together. But by about the end of the Roman Empire, the climate had changed so much that it now was desert, and thus it continues to grow. The desert continues to grow even to this day. So the environment that was before the flood, after the flood, has been changing ever since the flood. And this is why I have trouble with a lot of the global warming people that are out there. In fact, I heard one of the kooky news networks say, well, the coronavirus is a direct result of global warming. That is absolutely a lie. There is no proof. And these people come up with this stuff. They spout it off. People believe it, and it's a lie. Climate change has been going on ever since the flood. And we have a good illustration of it right here, where it says that Lot picked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. They know where that city is today. And as it is in the desert. So it changed, and it's been changing again ever since the flood. So looking at this scientifically, we find that we can not only understand that, but it's also provable. And it says that he went towards Sodom. Then Luz chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from one another. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities in the plain, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. Now, at this time, Sodom had not moved in to Sodom. He was on the outskirts of this wicked city, as it says in the next verse. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Now, you got to remember, there was a number of years that went by. I always look at this as important, because God didn't bring an immediate judgment upon Sodom. It says here they were exceedingly wicked, but the judgment of God didn't follow for years later. And I always look, a lot of times people say, well, you know, I've been out sinning, nothing's happened to me. I guess God's not real. No, God's merciful. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between interpreting God's waiting for a person to repent and interpreting is in that God doesn't care. God cares a lot. In fact, the Bible says that because of men's behavior, it defiles the land. You know, the Bible, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, go take care of the earth. And I believe when a relationship with God goes away, I believe that then we take advantage a lot of times of God's resources that are around us, whether it be land or resources on the land or whatever. In other words, not to just rape the land to get anything you want out of it and move on, but we're to be caretakers of this earth. And so in that regard, I do agree that we need to be careful with what we do. But the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked here, and we'll find out what happens to them as we move up in a few more chapters here. And the Lord said to Abram, verse 14, after Lot had separated from him. Now notice this, this is important. After Lot had separated from him. You say, well, why is that important? Well, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12 and the original commission that God gave to Abram, it says, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great. Now he says, get out of your country and from your kindred. Lot was his kindred, okay? So we have to understand that. Once Abram did what God told him to do, now notice God speaks to him again. He got rid of the problem that was in the way. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. If you like to underline things in your Bible, I would put after Lot had separated from him. It's like now God can say, now that this is taken care of, now we can get on with the rest of the directive that I have for you. Now notice this. God said to him, Abram, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. Now, again, this is an eternal promise. It's land allocated by God to Abraham forever. I can't stress this enough that Israel is in their homeland this morning. Isn't that amazing? God kept his promise. They went through so many things, wandered all over the world, were dispersed among the nations, and we find, just as Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, that Jerusalem would be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jerusalem is completely under Jewish control, and thanks to our president, recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, the eternal city. Isn't it amazing that God's word stays true? Now, why am I bringing this out? If God said, I'm giving it to you forever, and we see that it is in the hands of Abraham's descendants today, the promises of God are for you. And I think that's really important how God divinely, against all odds, keeps his promises. God said, Abram, I'm going to give this land to you and to your descendants forever. Well, again, we have the proof of it right now as we look at a map and we look at Israel. And I think that's really amazing that when God lifted up Abram's eyes, he said, now you lift up your eyes. Now remember earlier, as we read before, and Lot lifted up his eyes. You see, God wants us to see, but he wants us to see his way. You see, seeing God is really important in the days that we live in. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You need to see God daily in your life. Now, many times in the Bible, seeing God was through faith. But sometimes seeing God was through events. We remember the burning bush. Again, as we studied, God... allowed this bush to be burned. Now, that didn't concern, that didn't really concern Moses, but it's when the bush didn't burn up, it just kept burning and burning and burning and burning. And oftentimes in the desert, electrical storms will come through, strike a sagebrush, and you'll see it burning and it burns out. Sometimes it can cause a range fire. But the thing is, this bush didn't burn up. That caught Moses' attention. He walks over. God spoke to him out of the bush. Take off your sandals. Where you stand is holy ground. And God gives him the directive to go set his people free. But imagine Moses not noticing that bush that was burning. I wonder how many times God has anomalies in our lives that we look at and go, well, that's something you don't see every day, and pass by it. So as a child of God, you want to begin to see things through God's eyes. Oftentimes, the things God has for us are not, ooh, I just won the lottery, whoopee-doo. But sometimes it might be that God will show you something, someone in a store, something that sticks out to you. That could be God speaking to you. And you want to pray about those things. Just like Moses saw a burning bush, God will show you things and seeing through your father's eyes. Now, again, blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Now, there's a lot of people. The pure in heart is that you're singularly focused upon God's kingdom. There are those that say, you know, wow, look at the lock that somebody left unlocked on that storage building over there. Hey, now that's an anomaly. But that's not from God. Let's go break in and steal stuff. Let's take the lock off and steal stuff. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. See, there's going to be events in our lives, supernaturally, from either the devil or from God. But when you're pure in heart, you're going to see that as an opportunity for God to use you in a situation where he himself, if he could be there, he would do it. And that's one of the great things. Thy kingdom come, Jesus said. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he separates himself from Lot, and now we find God now giving him the promise of the land. See, God didn't want to do this because Lot was distant from God. Though he was his relative and Lot loved him, it doesn't say that he was a believer. And so he says, lift up your eyes. I'm going to give this to your descendants forever. And I will make of your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then they could number your descendants also could not be numbered. He's saying your descendants are going to be like the particles of dust in the earth. They're going to be everywhere. Now, this goes back again, reiterating to Abram what God said to him in chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And so, again, he brings him back after his little detour through Egypt, brings him back to where he originally met him in Canaan at the altar that he made. And then he brings him back and says, okay, let's get this going. Verse 17, arise. By the way, you're going to find that a lot in the Bible. This puts feet to your faith. When God says, get up and go, we got to do that. You know, it's like somebody saying, well, I need a job. And, you know, God, I'm just going to sit here in my chair, eating my little chippies and watching TV. And if you want me to have a job, you just cause that phone to ring right there and we'll get on with it. No, arise. You must always put feet to your faith. Never in a sinful way, but that when God says to do something, we do it. So he says, arise, walk the land, and through it, its length, its width, and I will give it to you. Just imagine, wherever you put your foot, Abraham, is yours and your descendants forever. Boy, I'd be walking a lot, man. I'd be out there trucking all over the place, setting up boundary cones, because basically that's what God was telling him to do. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt in the Timbernith trees near Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there before the Lord. Now, Abram begins to realize that he's not going to be able to do what God wants him to do unless he walks with God. You're not going to be able to do what you want to do either unless you walk with God. Just not. Because life is bigger than we are. Now, I think right now there's a lot of people in the last few weeks that have come to the understanding, in fact, life is bigger than they are. You know, it's really funny. I remember back in the Cold War when Russia was building nuclear missile launches in Cuba. And thus the name the Cuban Missile Crisis came. Fidel Castro, a complete anarchist nut. Anybody that says anything good about Fidel Castro simply is either ignorant of history or deliberately trying to deceive you. Fidel Castro was a murdering thug. And he wanted to threaten the peace of the United States. And I remember the last time I saw the shelves empty was when I was a little boy going into the store. And the shelves were empty. And I remember the threat of nuclear war. And I remember my mom. There was a box boy, a bus boy there stocking the shelves, what few things they had that he's taken out of the box. And my mom says, "Tell me, if we get into a nuclear war, what's going to be hard to find?" And the guy stocking the shelf said, "People, lady." That's true. Well, you know what's interesting is that it's hard to believe that America economically, and they're saying this could lead to a global depression now. Not an atomic bomb, you know, not a blockade blocking supplies from a country. This was caused by a microscopic bug, coronavirus. Many people believe it was a manufactured bug. I have a tendency to lean towards that. Because of what it targets and what it does. But regardless whether it was man-made or it's just part of our fallen planet, I believe life is bigger than we are. And you better have a God bigger than you are. You know, I think a lot of times God allows things to happen to us, not to hurt us, not to punish us, but to say, where does your hope lie? Is it in stocks and bonds? You say, "Well, I've got a whole sack of silver dollars under my bed." That's great. Providing there's something to buy with it, you might be in luck. But you need something bigger. You need something bigger. And that's the place where we're at. I believe a lot of people are like Lot. They lifted up their eyes. They saw what they wanted to see. They didn't see the dangers involved. But when we are in faith, when we trust in God, when we walk in faith, I believe then God lifts up our eyes and lets us see what's really going on and lets us see that there's a lot of hurting people around us. A lot of people that don't know God don't have a God. Their God was their dollar. Their God was their job. Their God was their family. Their God was something else. Only to see it shaken or in many conditions already crumbled. And I believe this is part of why we're saved. This is why when we get saved, we don't immediately go to heaven. God left us here. Why is that? Because God has left it up to human beings to communicate the message of the gospel. It was through man that man sinned and sold us all into slavery. Jesus Christ reversed what Adam did in the garden, the second Adam. But then he entrusts us to preach the gospel to every creature. It's called the Great Commission. That Great Commission is for you today. That's where you're going to find your value. That's where you're going to find your worth. And if you do anything less than serving God, it will always be a shortcoming, unfulfilling experience. Because you were designed for better things. You were designed for much better things. It's like putting wax on an old rusty bike. You know, that wax was really designed for a new car. You are designed for something far greater than rust. And I would invite you today to consider Jesus. In this time that we live in, and if you're a Christian, you've been distant from God, You've been like Lot, lifting up your eyes, your own eyes, to what you want, rather than letting God lift up your eyes to what he wants to give you. This morning, I would just invite you to pray. And we're going to pray right now, and you can ask Christ in your life. You know, I don't believe I would be doing you service or God service by leaving the program without giving you an opportunity to receive Christ. So we're going to pray right now. And if you'd like to get right with God, you just pray this. It's a prayer that is based out of several things that happen in the Bible. But it's where you say, okay, God, I'm done living for myself. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, gave me a brand new start. And now from this day forward, I want to live for him. And you feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit, the sins you've done, the things you know you're not right, that dirty feeling that you get that you try to shower off and you can't. That's what God wants to clean you. And that's one of the great things God does. And something only God can do. No psychologist can do it. No religion can do it. It's only something that Jesus Christ does. The Bible says he washes away our sins. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I invite you into my life today. I recognize that I have sinned, and Lord, I don't want to sin anymore. So I ask you now to forgive me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. His blood covered my sins, and so wash me clean. Take away the guilt. Help me live for you each day. And Father, if I fall short, thank you for forgiving me in the future. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I'll have boldness and love to talk to people about you. And thank you for writing my name in your book of life. I get to live with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that welcome to God's family. It doesn't end here. This is where it starts. You want to read your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, write us. I'll send you one. And be in Christian fellowship. Be around people who love Jesus. Your old funky friends that would say, hey, let's go get stoned. Let's go get loaded. Hey, let's party down. And you wake up in the morning and your car's wrecked and your wallet's gone and all that kind of stupid stuff. No more. You got a new reason to live now. You got a reason to live for him. Let God bless you. Let God heal you. Let God restore you. Put yourself in the place where God will bless you. Remember, blessed are the pure in heart. That means undiluted by the things of the world, singularly focused upon God, and you will see God. And when you see God, you respond. Father, for every person listening this morning, may you just encourage us. May we be about your business. May you not give us a spirit of fear, but boldness and a sound mind in these days. And we trust you for the very best in the days ahead. Open doors of opportunity. Lord, the whole world's changed as we know it. But God, you never change. And so may our faith, hope, and trust always be in you. And may we rest in that peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening. And tune in next time for It's Time.